Hi, my name is Richard Holliman, and I'm one of the Block 1 authors on S350, Evaluating Contemporary Science. I'm here today with Phil Wheeler, who also works on S350. Phil works in the School of Environment, Earth and Ecosystem Sciences at the Open University. We're here to discuss how science progresses. So Phil, what is your current topic of inquiry?
I'm an applied ecologist and conservation biologist, and that means that I'm interested in animals and plants mostly and how they interact with their environment. That's the ecology bit. The applied bit is about how those interactions relate to things that go on in the real world and how they affect people and human systems. And the conservation biology bit is what happens when particular animals and plants or particular ecosystems become rare or threatened, and usually that's to do with people as well. So I sort of work in science, but in areas of science that really relate to what people do.
So what do you see as the characteristic or key characteristics of a successful scientist?
I think first and foremost it's creativity. You've got to have ideas, and that is at the beginning of the scientific process, thinking about questions that you're going to ask. And then it goes through that whole process thinking how you're going to answer the questions. In the real world, nothing happens without money, without resources. So partly what you've got to do as a scientist is to figure out how you're going to convince somebody to give you the money or the resources to answer the questions that you've come up with. So creativity goes across the piece there. And different scientists are good at different bits of that. Mm-hmm. Some are brilliant at all three, and they're the people who really get ahead. Most of us humans are good at one or two bits of that whole process.
So what scientific evidence would you argue is currently agreed knowledge in your discipline?
It's a difficult question for me, Rick, because I'm an applied ecologist, so lots of what I do is very practical. It's very difficult to go back to theoretical fundamentals that relate to lots of different practical scenarios. So I would take it right back to the theory of evolution by natural selection. That's the fundamental thing that underpins our understanding of all biological and ecological systems.
Okay, and how did that scientific evidence become agreed knowledge in your discipline?
It's a long story. You're going back over 150 years. But I suppose natural selection was an idea that was, at its time, one that explained lots of things that didn't have adequate explanations. And so it was very widely adopted, but not uncontroversial. And really the process over the 50 years following the publication of The Origin of Species, which was the main kind of description of that, was about exploring the implications, testing the idea. It was going back and saying, right, if this is correct, we should see this in nature. If this is correct, then our experiment should generate these results. Do the experiment? Does it? By and large, yes. And then incorporating other ideas that sort of developed out of that and other ideas that weren't very familiar. Genetics, understanding the DNA is the molecule that carries the genetic code and affects natural selection. They were all things that happened after that and were fundamental to fleshing out bits of the original theory that didn't necessarily make sense or had little gaps in. And for an ecologist, it's about exploring what the implications of natural selection are for how organisms interact with their environment and then how that relates to populations, abundances, distribution of organisms, all those sorts of things.
It's a really interesting explanation. What you're saying to me is this, if you like, there's a bedrock, and on top of that bedrock, all these kind of interesting ideas which have slightly modified or extended that kind of initial understanding. I'm kind of curious about how does that kind of new knowledge, if you like, come in to adapt to the original one?
In different sorts of ways. I think that there will always be people who think that they've undermined existing established knowledge. And you often see scientific debate framed as being sort of scientists going head to head. And there are situations where people have so fundamentally disagreed about very fundamental questions in biology, including in evolution, how evolution happens, that they do go head to head. So Darwin's original theory suggested that species evolve very gradually over time. Paleontologists looking at the fossil record through the 1980s and 1990s had the idea that actually things evolve slowly over long periods of time and then go through these rapid jumps. And the people who disagreed with them described that as evolution by jerks. and that, you know, they hated each other, and I think to a certain extent they still do.
Yeah.
But actually most science is much more consensual than that. It's people agreeing that fundamental ideas, that the more fundamental ideas probably aren't going to change substantially, but still leaving the door open for the potential that they might do. So exploring things that build gradually and build our knowledge gradually. And you know, the idea of standing on the shoulders of giants, it's that evolution, not revolution, isn't it?
Yeah. But fundamentally what you're saying to me is a scientific method, evidence tested over time, and then the good ideas stick and the other ones don't.
That's right, yeah. And so an important thing there is as a scientist to be open to challenge, obviously to challenge other people's ideas, but also to be humble enough to have your ideas challenged and to put your hand up and say, yeah, I got it wrong. Or not that I got it wrong, but that the evidence that I had led me to one conclusion. We've now got more evidence, so I'm going to change my mind and conclude that things happen differently.
Thanks very much, Phil.
Pleasure.